The first worshipers of Christ, we're going to spend just a few minutes this morning being reminded. Sometimes you look on a Christmas tree and you might see on that Christmas tree an angel. Or some people, rather than putting a star at the top of their Christmas tree, they put an angel. Now, we don't worship angels. And we don't make statues of angels to worship or as good luck charms. There is one who is to be worshipped, and that is God. Our Lord Jesus Christ deserves all of our worship. Not men, not angels. But angels played a beautiful part in the Christmas story. And I just want to take a moment to remind us of that today, of their part in the Christmas story, and of how it all comes together at the end. There are actually three that came to worship the Savior in the days or months following his birth. First were the angels, then the shepherds, then the wise men. The host of heaven, first, we'll talk about in a moment. The shepherds, Israelites, those inside Israel, common people, wise men or magi, those from outside of Israel, wealthy and educated. All of these came to worship our Savior and are mentioned in the first chapters of Luke and of Matthew. They represent us all. Because he is not just the Savior of one group, and he is just not the Lord of heaven. He is the Lord of heaven and earth, and he is the Savior of the world. But we'll focus today on the angels. The multitude of heavenly hosts, as we read here in our Bibles from Luke chapter 2 just a few moments ago. But angels are actually found throughout our Bible. The term angel actually means messenger. These are the messengers of heaven. But one of the places we read about these servants of the Most High, these messengers of heaven, is in Isaiah chapter 6. There, a certain group of angels called seraphim, they had six wings, with two they covered with their face, with two they covered their feet, and with two they did fly. And what were they doing? Well, they were flying around the throne of God. And day and night they cried, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. The whole earth is full of his glory." So one of the first times we read about angels in the Bible, not the first, but one of the first times, we read about the angels doing what? Worshipping God in heaven. They did several things. They worshipped the Lord. They delivered messages, as their name in both Hebrew and Greek indicate to us. They also fought battles with the forces of Satan. We read about that in Daniel and other places. They carried out judgments for God, both in the Old and in the New Testament, during the time of the tribulation in particular. And they watch over the souls of the redeemed for him. They are an important part of his ministry. And whether we know it, a more important part of our life than we do realize. The Bible says that some have hosted angels unawares, not knowing that's what they were. However, there are some in particular who were distinctly involved in the carrying out of God's plan of redemption for mankind. Some distinctly, who we see, very specifically involved with God's plan of salvation for us. One in particular we read of three times in Scripture. His name is Gabriel. In Daniel chapter 9, it says this, "Yea, while I was speaking in prayer, even the man Gabriel, whom I had seen in the vision at the beginning, being caused to fly swiftly, touched me about the time of the evening oblation, and he informed me and talked with me and said, O Daniel, I am now come forth to give thee skill and understanding. What did he give him skill and understanding about? Well, about the vision and the prophecy that Daniel had foreseen. What was the vision about? It was about the Messiah, the coming of the Messiah. Matter of fact, it foretold of the time of the coming of the Messiah, 70 weeks, or 70 times 7 years, 490 years, associated with the coming and the triumph of the Messiah. Does that have anything to do with us? Oh, yes, it does. Because he brought in, as it says in Daniel 9, everlasting righteousness through his death on the cross. In Luke chapter 1, as we read a few moments a bit ago, we read from Luke 1, but we read about Mary. But see, there wasn't only Mary in Luke 1, there was also who? There was Elizabeth. And an angel that didn't come to Elizabeth, in this case, the angel came to who? To her husband, Zacharias, and foretold of the birth of their son, who was to be called John, but also in doing so mentioned that he was the forerunner to prepare the way for the coming of who? The Messiah. And who was it that gave that message to Zacharias? Well, again, it was Gabriel. And then in Luke chapter 1, it is the angel Gabriel that brings the message to Mary and tells her that she will give birth to a child who will be conceived of the Holy Spirit, who will be the son of the what? The Highest, which is a title for God Almighty. Again, it is Gabriel. In Matthew chapter 1, we read of a vision, a dream that Joseph had. And in it, an angel from the Lord doesn't give his name. I suspect it was probably who? Gabriel. Told Joseph not to worry about his espoused wife who was with child, because she was with child of who? The Holy Ghost. And they were to name him Jesus, for he would save his people from their sins. This is it here, Matthew 1, 20 and 21. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. But that's not the last time angels were involved with Jesus. Matthew 28, 5 and 6. It was an angel that announced his resurrection. Matthew 28. And the angel answered and said unto the women, fear not, for I know that ye seek Jesus which was crucified. He's not here, for he is risen as he said. Come see the place where the Lord lay. His angels that night that worshipped and declared the birth of Jesus Christ to the shepherds. And it was an angel that ministered to Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane. And it was an angel that announced the resurrection of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Acts chapter 1. After Jesus ascended up into heaven, his disciples were filled with questions and concern. And they just stood there, looking up. And suddenly they realized there's somebody standing beside them. How did they get there? Acts 1, And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel. Wonder who they were. Angels. Which also said, "Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus which is taken up from you into heaven shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven." Don't worry. Don't be concerned. I know your mind is filled with questions and doubts, but don't doubt and don't question. He will come what? Again. Just like he went up, he will come back. A matter of fact, the same spot, the Mount of Olives. He will return. You can count on it. And he will. In Hebrews 1:14, speaking of angels, it says, "Are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister, to serve for them who shall be heirs of salvation?" The angels are not only servants of God, but they are servants of the heirs to heaven. And that would also be who? That would be us. That would be us. They are busy serving and ministering for the Lord and in behalf of His redeemed children. In Daniel chapter 6, it was an angel that protected Daniel in the lion's den. In Genesis chapter 19, it was angels who went into that wicked city of Sodom to rescue and deliver Lot and his family from it. Because as we're told in the New Testament, despite his failures and shortcomings, Lot was a righteous man, a redeemed soul. So the angels went in to get him out. In Acts chapter 5, it was angels who opened the prison doors for the apostles to leave. And later in chapter 12, who led Peter out of prison. Angels are all around us. We sometimes tend to focus on the bad guys and the demons, but the angels are there ministering for our Lord and caring, even when we may not know it, for the redeemed. They rejoice. They rejoice in the salvation of God's creation and are an integral part. It says in Luke chapter 15 and verse 7, "I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth more than over 99 souls which need no repentance." There is rejoicing where? In heaven. There's rejoicing in heaven over one soul that's saved. We are important to them as we are important to our Savior. The angels proclaim the mighty works of God. In Job 38:7, it says, "When the morning stars sang together and all the sons of God shouted for joy." That was the day of creation. The angels were there, and they sang and rejoiced in the creation, particularly of who? Of us, created in the image of God. But that image was marred by sin, and it required a sacrifice sacrifice of a righteous one. The Lamb of God who takes away what? The sin of the world. And thus, in Luke chapter 2, it was angels that announced His birth. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a what? A Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. The angels proclaimed who it was that was to be born. Who was born? The Savior. The Savior of all mankind. Come to save us from our plight. The mess that we got ourselves into cost Him dearly. But He did it graciously and lovingly for us. He is the Savior, Christ. Christ. Every time you think Christ, you see Christ in the New Testament, think what? The Messiah. For Christ in Greek is a reference to the Jewish Messiah. So He is the Savior. He is Christ, the foretold Messiah, the King of the Jews, the long-awaited one. And He is the Lord. He is the Lord of heaven and earth. Is He your Lord? That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in thine heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. The Savior, the Messiah, the Lord. It tells us of the place of His birth. The city of what? The city of David, Bethlehem. Where Micah 5:2, it was foretold that one who was from of old, of everlasting, who would be king, would be born in that little town just a few miles from Jerusalem called Bethlehem. It tells us of the manner of His birth. He didn't come. He wasn't born in a palace of the king. No, He was wrapped in swaddling clothes and laid in a what? In a laid in a manger. There was no room for them in the inn. No room for Jesus. He was born in humble circumstances. He came into this world quietly for the most part. But not for the shepherds that night. For the angels announced to them. They give us the purpose of His birth. What is the purpose of His birth? To bring glory to God in the what? Highest. Why did Jesus come? He came to bring glory to God. He mentioned that several times during His ministry, that He did all things to bring glory to the Father in heaven. It is to the glory of God, who gave His only begotten Son to redeem fallen mankind. How great is His love. How wonderful His mercy. How mighty His power. That God should become a man and die for us. And He came to bring peace. Peace between God and men. Because as Jesus died on the cross, He bridged the gap that could not otherwise be bridged. The sacrifices of the Old Testament, the blood and bulls of goats could not take away sin. They were symbolic. They were a shadow. Jesus was the real thing. And so He came to bring peace. Peace between God and man. Peace among men. For when Christ returns, there will be peace over all the earth. This the angels told us. He came to bring peace by the sacrifice of Himself. He made the way. He is the way. And one day, we and the angels together will sing a new song. Look, if you would, to Revelation chapter 5. Revelation chapter 5. Revelation 5, verse 6. And I beheld, and behold, lo, in the midst of the throne and of the four beasts, in the midst of the elders, stood a lamb as it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent forth into all the earth. And he came, and he took the book out of the right hand of him that sat upon the throne. And when he had taken the book, the four beasts and 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sung a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood of every kindred and tongue and people and nation, and hast made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. And I beheld and I heard the voice of many angels round about the throne, and of the beasts and elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000, thousands and thousands. I don't know if you've ever been in an auditorium singing praises to God with thousands of people, but it is an amazing experience. Imagine thousands times thousands in heaven will take up their harps and their voices and sing. Saying with a loud voice, I think that's probably doesn't quite get across how loud the voice of thousands will be. Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. And every creature which is in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and such as are in the sea and all that are in them, heard I saying, Blessing and honor and glory and power be unto him that sitteth upon the throne and unto the Lamb forever and ever. And the four beasts said, Amen. And the 24 elders, which I believe represents the redeemed church, fell down and worshiped him that liveth forever and ever. One day, we, the redeemed in Christ, and the angels in heaven, will sing together a new song in praise of the Lamb who is worthy, to take his place as King of Kings and Lord of Lords, for he died to take our place. And though the angels need not to be redeemed, they will sing with us because they will have played a part in our redemption. Will you be there to praise the name of Jesus with them at the day of his glorious triumph? I pray you will. And if you know Christ as the Lord and Savior of your life, there is no doubt that we will be there on that day. And we will sing that new song. And we will hear the thunderous sound of praise and we'll hear it, I expect, for all eternity. As we praise the name of Jesus together, as we praise the name of God whom we serve, with those who have ministered to us unawares to us, with those who were there to sing on the day of our creation, with those who sang at the birth of the Savior, with those who announced His resurrection from the grave, with those who comforted His disciples that He would return, and with those who rejoice when one soul comes to know Christ is Savior. Praise God. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank You, Lord, for this day. And we thank You, Lord, even now, though we are unaware of Your dealings and unaware, Lord, of the angels that serve You in ministering to Your children. We thank You, Lord, for them. And we thank You, Lord, for what You did for us. And we pray, Lord, if there be one who is unsure today of their relationship with You, that before they leave this place today, they would give You the greatest gift any human being can give, themselves to You, and receive the greatest gift that heaven can give, the only begotten Son of God, to redeem their souls. That all of us that are here today will one day sing with the angels in heaven, praise to the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. In Jesus' precious name we do pray. Amen. We're going to sing a hymn of invitation this morning. It's not our normal hymn of invitation because we just don't sing "O Come All Ye Faithful" as an invitation song all that often. But is it not an invitation song? O come, all ye faithful, joyful and triumphant.